I'm John Carter in Moscow, in Havana, Cuba. Now in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine.
I'm John Carter in Petra,
right here in communist China,
reporting from India.
Hi, I'm John Carter in the Solomon Islands.
I'm John Carter in Soweto,
from El Salvador.
I'm John Carter in Sydney, Australia.
Welcome back, my friend. Many years ago, I was a student at Avondale College in Australia. I emphasize, it was many years ago. I was in my last year of theology. And most of us young guys who were doing theology sort of thought we knew a lot. We thought we knew everything that the Bible said, and any questions, just come and ask us. We had all the answers. can I say this? How dumb can you get? Not much dumber than that. But anyhow, here I was in my last year of theology at Avondale College, which now has been caught about me. It's graduated. Not only did the students graduate, Avondale College graduated. And now it's a university. But when I was there, it wasn't a university. It was just a plain, old-fashioned college. And I was a theology student. And one night, to the college auditorium, there came an American preacher. He was a big, tall guy. In fact, he made me think of Abraham Lincoln. He was so tall, seemed a little bit gaunt. We all went down, we theology students, to listen to him. We didn't think he was going to teach us anything, of course. But he was there, and he preached a sermon on the unsparing God. It was such a great sermon, I will confess to you today, that I've forgotten most things that I ever heard at Avondale College, but I've never forgotten the great sermon that was preached by Pastor HMS Richards, the man who founded the Voice of Prophecy. That sermon made a tremendous impact upon my life. I guess, as I just mentioned, I guess I've forgotten most of the stuff I heard and learned at Avondale College, but I never forgot his sermon on the unsparing God. Now, he spoke about how God's judgments came upon the world in ancient times. And also it started up there in the heavens, where Peter says, God didn't even spare the angels. No, said HMS Richards, God is so just, he didn't even spare the angels. He loved the angels, he tried to save the angels, but when they rebelled against him, he didn't spare them, he cast them out of glory. And then HMS Richards went on to say, God did not spare the Antediluvians. Who on earth are these Antediluvians? These were the people who lived before the great deluge in the days of Noah. Noah was out there preaching his heart out for 120 years. That would have been a long sermon if he hadn't taken some breaks. But the Bible says he preached cumulatively for 120 years and warned the world that judgment was coming. So HMS Richards told the story. Then he came down, as Peter said, God did not spare the people who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. But after God's patience had gone on for many, many years, and God had sent messages of warning, people, preachers, prophets. The Bible tells us that God sent a rain of fire from the heavens. I've been over to that place. I have. Beverly's been there with me. We went there many, many years ago, before it sort of got civilized, before they started to build houses down in that area. And we saw thousands and thousands of tombs. And we saw a tremendous heap of ash. That ash, my friend, I'm not exaggerating, 2 meters tall, more than 6 feet tall. And in that ash, little bits of ancient pottery. I felt it with my own fingers. Little bits of human bone. I've sat there and with these fingers, I pulled out the little bits of human bone. And I've remembered the words of Scripture. God did not spare the people who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. So what does this tell me? It tells me that God is a righteous God. I had an old friend of mine in Los Angeles came to my church. And he came to me once and he said, you know, I don't mind you preaching, but I don't like it a lot. I said, okay. He said, you talk about the righteousness of God. He said, my God is not a righteous God. My God is just a big teddy bear. He said, he's just a big, cuddly teddy bear. And he just gives me a cuddle and we're all going to be saved. Well, I had a little talk with that man. I couldn't go along with him because the Bible says, as HMS Richards preached in the college auditorium, God is an unsparing God. God did not spare the angels. He did not spare the antediluvians. He did not spare the Sodomites. And if this is true, will God spare us? That is the logical application. If God did not spare them, if we do the same sins, will God spare us? And the answer is no, because God is an unsparing God. But then HMS Richards, this is just before my graduation, he turned over to the book of Romans because he was talking, as I already told you, talking about the unsparing God. And he turned over to this text. And I've never seen that text before quite like he preached it. I'll always be in the debt of that mighty man of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 and onwards. And are you listening to me today, my friend? Romans 8, verse 31 and onwards. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's a glory hallelujah text. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, you don't need to fear the wrath of men or women. You don't need to fear the devil. If God is on your side, nobody can be against you. Now, verse 32, Romans 8, which is, I think, the greatest chapter in the Bible. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Listen to me. The Bible says God did not spare his own son. So how can people believe in this big teddy bear idea that God is a sort of a cosmic pushover? Don't need to think about God. You don't need to think about the way you live. You don't even need to think about your lifestyle. Because God is just a big cosmic pushover. He's a big teddy bear. But the Bible says God didn't spare the angels that sinned. He didn't spare the antediluvians when they sinned. He did not spare the Sodomites when they sinned. And he did not spare his own son when his own son took the sin of the world upon his soul. That tells you, I tell you, my friend, that tells you that God is a righteous God. Now, God, I think, has got two main characteristics. I know he's got other characteristics. But he's got two great characteristics. And one is his righteousness. God is a holy God. God is not the cosmic pushover. God is not somebody that you can just say, oh, I don't care what he says. He is a righteous God. And because he is a righteous God, there is a day of judgment. But the Bible says, he who didn't spare, did you hear it in Romans 8? He who did not spare his own son. Are you listening to this today? Is this going down into the molecules of your mind? He who did not spare his own son. When his own son became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5. When he bore the sin of the world, when he became the substitute for the guilty human race, God did not spare his own son. What is God like? God is tremendously loving. And God is tremendously righteous. Beverly and I are reading through the Bible for the, I don't know how many times we've read it through, I was going to say the umpteenth dozen time. I don't know if anybody understands that, but we just keep reading it through. Read through the book of Genesis again, and well, what a kick the book of Genesis has. Read the great story of creation that God made us. What a tremendous story. Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall of man, how man came under the dominion of Satan and came under the judgment of God. So we've been reading through the book of Genesis. And then we've been reading through more recently the Gospel of John. The other day we got to that chapter in John. We're not going to read it now, but it's John chapter 8, where the woman is caught in adultery. You know the story? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the super religious people, the people who are always putting down other people in their special sanctimonious style, they bring to Jesus, the Lord of love and the Lord of righteousness, some poor woman that they caught in the act of adultery. How did they catch her? Were they involved in more than a pastoral concern? So here come along the great religious leaders and they bring along this woman. Hey, Lord, we caught her. You know the story? And they said, Moses says she ought to be stoned. What do you say? Come on, let's stone her. Let's see the blood. What horrible people. And so religious. Jesus doesn't say anything. He gets down on the ground with his finger. He starts to write in the dust. The names. I'm using a little sanctified imagination here. The names, the places, the dates. Rabbi so-and-so, sister so-and-so. All of a sudden, like rats, they slink away, run away. You know, rats don't like the light, do they? Rats hate the light. Rats love the dark and they love filth. These people love darkness and they loved filth. And soon there's only Jesus standing there and the woman. There's no man accused you, no man, Lord. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. He's a righteous God. Sin no more. He's full of love and compassion.
Would you like to know the greatest truth in the Bible? Here it is. I'm going to tell you, and I'm certain about this. Here is the greatest truth in the Bible. Here it is. God loves you. God loves sinners. God cares for you. God is tremendously loving God. And he's a righteous God. He's loving and he's righteous. He's righteous and he's holy. I'm going to turn over here to Romans chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. I've got many favorite books in the Bible. They sort of change as I read them, but I just love the book of Romans. Paul says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" God's kindness, God's mercy, God's love, God's compassion. "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." Did you see this? Did you hear this? If you were reading it, you would have seen it. Stirring up wrath until the day when God's righteous judgment is going to be revealed. So God is full of love, God is mercy, and God is full of compassion. But he's also a righteous God. Not only can we see God's righteous judgments in pre-Christian ancient times, we can see them in more recent times all around us. I want to tell you folks something today. I don't want you to forget it. The judgments of the Lord are in the land. God is speaking, but who is listening? Let me illustrate. We see God's judgments now in plagues and pestilences. New pestilences coming out of the jungles. In wars and devastation. We see judgments in the Middle East. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It is a judgment. Read it in Luke chapter 21. We see it in earth's fever. Earth has been so abused by we sinful mortals that the earth now is running a fever. We see greater storms, greater tornadoes, greater hurricanes, greater floods. This is not just by happen chance. These are the judgments of God because we are living in the time of the apocalypse. We see among the wandering masses a sense of hopelessness. We see in many parts of the world crime out of control. We see terrorism. We see states that are now terrorists. The whole state is a terrorist. And we see great deceptions. We see lies being told. And we see people believing lies. They believe without thinking. We are in the territory of 2 Thessalonians 2. Read it through. Read it. Wonder. And be prepared. And the question is, who will listen? God is speaking to us. Who will listen? Who today in America is listening? Who today in Australia is listening? Who today in the Philippines is listening? Who today in Great Britain is listening? One of my favorite preachers in the United States, the land that I love so very much, a preacher by the name of Charles Stanley. He said God has been protecting America. But now it appears that his hand is being withdrawn. Now there's a text I want you to notice in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12. And I'm going to read it to you because it's a most significant text in the Old Testament. I go back to Zephaniah. Just give me a moment. It's one of those little books that I often find it hard just to pick up straight away. Here it is. I got it. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps or candles and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or evil. The Bible says that God is going to search Jerusalem with candles. He's going to search the church. Now people say, no. Yes. Because many of the greatest crimes that are being committed have been committed by religious people. And then you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Listen to this. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Everybody, even Christians, even members of the church, are going to appear in the judgment because the greatest sins have been found among God's professing people. After hearing this, we cry out, what shall we do then? What shall we do? Listen, remember HMS Richards at Avondale College? He spoke about the unsparing God. If God did not spare the angels, if he did not spare the antediluvians, if he did not spare the Sodomites, and then he reads, God spared not his own son. Then he told the story of his growing up. I think it was Colorado, had a beautiful mother, had a little brother. HMS was always teasing his brother, driving him crazy. His mother called him in and said, Harold, you got to stop this, promise me. Yeah, I promise, mother. But the words were hardly out of his mouth when his brother was screaming again. His mother said, the next time you do it, Harold, I'm not going to beat you, you're going to beat me. He said, I could never do that, mother. She said, if you keep doing this to your brother, you'll have to beat me. The next time he did it, she sent him down to the creek, sent him back half a dozen times until he got a big reed and brought it back, took him into the bedroom. She got down on the bed. She bent over the bed. She bared her back. This young mother, she bared her back and she said, Harold beat me. What a story. He tried to beat, he couldn't do it. Harold beat me, couldn't do it. When she saw he was breaking down, she sat her boy on the bed beside her and put her arm around him and told him the story of the gospel, how Christ was beaten by the guilty, for the guilty, with the guilty, to save us. Christ was beaten for our sins. Christ died for our sins. So that we need not fear the judgment, so that we might be covered, so that we might be covered by the blood of Christ. And have a new heart. That's the story, my friend, of the judgment. It's certain. But there's something else just as certain. That is the judgment that fell upon Christ so that you and I might be saved and be forgiven. I ask you today, I ask you in the name of Christ, believe in Jesus, my friend. Trust in Jesus. He says, anybody who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you believe in Jesus today, my friend, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be a new person, saved by grace, going home to glory. Amen. Our Father, we come to you today and we bring this great audience around the world to you. Our friends across America, down in the South Pacific, up in the Philippines, in Russia, Ukraine, and across Europe and Africa. Bless them. We're living in the time of the judgment, God, but we thank you for Christ who died for us. We open our hearts to you this day. We accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and we do so in his name and for his sake and for his glory. Amen and amen.
Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." John Carter reports, "We have seen God's power as the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in Africa, India, Russia, Ukraine, Cuba, El Salvador, and many other places. We invite you to partner with us in proclaiming Jesus Christ."
To God be the glory. Great things he has done.
Write today to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. Thank you for your generous support. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May God richly bless you.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.